me to be with you today and to fellowship with you and to see the ministry that's happening here and the work that's it's just great to see. And well, I'm going to be sharing with you from that passage that Matt just read to us. I think as we look at this passage, we're going to get a lesson in life about what Jesus says of himself, but we're going to come to grips of what's going to happen when we die. What's going to happen when you and I die? In this, and I've done it 100 times, and I'm sure you've been to many funerals. The coffin comes in, the music plays, and then either the coffin goes behind a curtain, or later on it's lowered in the ground and covered over. And as you're there, perhaps in grief, trying to figure out what's happening here, you ask the question, is this final? Is this the final resting place? What happens next? What can we expect? Now, we know that we're not going to live on this earth forever. One day, your heart will stop. One day, your body will grow cold. One day, your body will be placed in a casket. Unless the Lord were to return before you die, friends, where all our bodies are all going to be placed in a box. And as the years go by, we see ourselves aging. We're not quite as fast as we used to be, and there are a few more aches and pains and that we didn't have perhaps 10 years ago. And if it isn't some grey hair emerging or more wrinkles or a spreading waistline, we're reminded every day that we're not going to be here forever. So, as Christians, what do we hope for? We know that the sum of all of life doesn't exist here on this planet Earth. Our bodies are getting older, and one day it will die, and our bodies will have done its job that it's meant to do in this life. And when we die, or rather, when our bodies die, our spirit lives on, and we'll have a new spiritual body that will never die. So when we go to a funeral, and when we, sometimes very rarely, they have open caskets, or what do we make of this death thing for us and for those people we love? See, when we see someone in a casket, we know that the spirit of that person is not there. And this morning we're going to see from John chapter 14 that heaven is our home. The Christian does not belong here on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we only have a visa here, and it's going to expire one day here on earth. And we are journeying through this short passing life to our true home where Jesus has prepared for us. Jesus will be in heaven. God the Father, we've just read, will be in heaven there too, and the Holy Spirit as well. And we know so too all the angels of God will be there, and every single one of God's children will be in heaven. All who have loved and followed and trusted Jesus from the dawn of time will be there. Heaven is a place of love and happiness, of lasting peace, of complete satisfaction. Why? Because God is there. So lovely and wonderful. Friends, we cannot fully understand it, really, at one level, because we're here and not there. In heaven, there'll be no more sin. There'll be no night, no tears, no death, no evil, no hatred. In heaven, there'll be no violence or conflict or racism or war. In heaven there'll be no night or loneliness or fear, no competition, no frustration, no confusion. In heaven there'll be no grief, there'll be no poverty, no failure, no divorce, no regrets, no fractured relationships, no disappointment, no devil to tease or torment, no cancer, no Alzheimer's, no sickness or arthritis, no depression or mental illness, no injuries, no disabilities. Friends, in heaven there'll be no pain and suffering. And all these things make earth unlovely and tragic will be absent in heaven. And so heaven will be filled with peace and health and vigor and knowledge and happiness and worship. Heaven will be filled with love and contentment and fulfillment and music and joy. Heaven will be filled with laughter and happiness, friendship, completeness. Heaven will be a great celebration, like a party. It will have harmony and perfection. That is our true home. And when we finish our time here on earth, it's a wonderful thing as we look forward to that. In fact, the Apostle Paul contemplated whether to be staying here on earth and doing the things of God here or going to heaven. We read in Romans 7. And he was torn between going to be in glory with Jesus or staying here. Because when we die, we will see Jesus face to face, right there. And those of us who love Jesus, and I take it you do, God bless you, we're going to see Jesus. And there'll be nothing to be afraid of in heaven. And when we die, we go straight to be with Jesus. It'll be like falling asleep and waking up. The first person you'll see is Jesus himself welcome you at home, finally. Well, the passage that Matt read to us a little while ago tells us in John 14 about the nature of heaven. We're just going to explore this nature of heaven that John gives us here. The disciples were very anxious. This was during the last moments or day of Jesus' life. It's actually during the Last Supper. And Jesus says that he was going to leave them. And they cannot understand Jesus' statement that he was going to leave them alone. He tells them that he's going, and by the way, you can't come with me. Well, at least not yet. And all the disciples are in turmoil and they're worried. Peter is frantic, for Jesus had just told him that he's going to deny him three times before the night is out. And in the midst of this anguish, the first thing Jesus declares to his friends is to have faith, but in the midst of this confusion and trauma, he calls his disciples, look, don't worry, but trust. You don't understand what they're about to go through. And so we read in verse 1 of John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Peter had just told Jesus that he's going to lay down his life for him. Jesus isn't asking Peter for might or what he can do for Jesus. Jesus is just asking him to trust him. And especially in what is about to take place before them, he's telling Peter that before the night is out, Peter is going to fail him. And the Christian life is not based on what we can do for God, but rather what God has done for us. And Jesus is calling, friends, to his disciples to trust him in this hour. Jesus goes on to say in verse 2 of chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you." Now, in the old King James Version of the Bible, the phrase "many rooms" has often been translated to be "many mansions," and this is this has led to what I think is an unhelpful translation, the spiritual equivalent of that we're all going to live in some sort of Buckingham Palace, and in that Buckingham Palace we're going to have something like first class accommodation. And others interpreted this as being, that there's going to be various levels of Buckingham Palace. Yeah, thanks, mate. And, some are going to get in first class, some are going to get in second, some are going to get third. Well, this is not what the text is saying at all. It's simply saying that there's a room enough for everyone. Room enough for everyone. So we don't have to compete to get into heaven. Not like, when you do your HSC, you get a good mark and you hope you get a good job or go to uni or something like that. Heaven is not a competition where the best heroes or the greatest martyrs get the best jobs or places or rooms or mansions. Rather, to you and me, Jesus says, and this is the very focus here of these passages, heaven is in my Father's house. In other words, heaven is our home. Heaven is where you belong. Home. Now, some of you are probably after church are going to go home. But that's only a temporary home. Our real home is where the Father is, where Jesus is. So trust Jesus, for he knows what's happening. He knows what he's talking about. He's the truth, he says here. Peter was just about to face bitter failure, but Jesus reassures him that failure isn't the focus when it comes to heaven. Jesus wants to make it clear there is a place for every Christian believer with him. And Jesus is about to leave them, and he's saying, "I'm about to leave them, but I'm actually confirming your booking in heaven." So Jesus makes it clear to his disciples that he's actually going to prepare a place for them, actually, the next day when he dies. So we know the way he prepared the reservation was by his own death on our behalf, so that we can be forgiven. And this morning we're going to remember that in the Lord's Supper. But Jesus has finished preparing that place. It's not like Jesus is today cleaning up, the extensions and waiting for you to come in the course of time and, busily running around. No, that preparation was done 2,000 years ago when he died and rose again. So he's calling Peter. He's calling us here this morning. Trust me, he says. Trust me. He's telling Peter, you've got to trust him. He's about to go through an awful time and question just about everything. Trust me through the bitterness of these coming days, the bewilderment of disappointment, the tears of failure, and the darkness of bereavement. Trust me in this. Trust me, Peter, that the path I'm treading on is not a dead end. But rather, it's a through road beyond the grave to eternal life with me. Now, Thomas, in true style, steps in at this point in verse 5. And his conversation says, "Look, geez, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. I just don't understand what you're saying. How can we trust you, Jesus, if we don't even know where you're going?" And Jesus answered this question of heaven by saying in verse 6, "I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Notice something here in that verse 6. Jesus isn't talking about heaven as a place anymore. He isn't talking about heaven as being a mansion or a house or rooms. He's saying heaven is a relationship with Jesus. Now, Thomas, he's confused by the fact that he couldn't imagine what heaven was like and how he was to get there. Perhaps he was like the modern scientific rationalist who only think empirically and say, look, where is this Father's house, Jesus? Is it the third star left of Mars or something? Or do you have to get a rocket ship, or do I have to go through a stargate or a black hole or something to get there? What is this heaven thing? And Jesus replies by saying, I am the way. He's defining what heaven is to them. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven but by me. You see what he's doing? He's substituting places for person. Instead of speaking of the Father's house, he speaks to Thomas about going to the Father. Instead of talking about himself as the guide on the journey to heaven, now he speaks of himself as the path or the way to life itself. It's as if he's saying to Thomas, if you find it hard to think of heaven as a place, think of it instead as a person. Thomas, think of heaven not as something you know, but someone you know very well. Thomas, think of heaven as me, he says. Thomas, you're like a man who complains about he can't get in a car when you've got the car keys in your pocket all the time. Thomas, it's right in front of you, what you need to know. Heaven is not a location in which you must journey. Thomas, heaven is about a relationship with me. And by the way, Thomas, you've already begun this relationship. So let me conclude thus far what I've spoken about this morning. When we think of heaven, there are three things. As we face our own death or anguish in our life, friends, we should trust Jesus, number one. Secondly, heaven is our home, and Jesus has prepared that home for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. And thirdly, heaven is not so much a place, but a person. Heaven is a relationship with Jesus. Well, what is our proper response to knowing Jesus personally? Well, let me suggest two responses here, knowing those three things. Now, my dad, most of you wouldn't know my dad, maybe Phil met him years ago, but my dad is undergoing chemotherapy at the moment. This week, actually, and he has liver cancer, and it's terminal. His treatment will only give him some more time. By the way, my dad passionately loves Jesus, and he knows that his sins are forgiven. He knows that as he takes his last breath, he's going to be with Jesus in glory. He knows that, and knows that it's a far better thing. So knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life puts suffering in perspective. He can face, it pales into insignificance what he's going through, knowing that he's going to be with Jesus. Now my dad, he's a lovely Christian man. But he isn't cut from any different cloth to you and me. He's just like you and me. We too, friends, can have enormous strength and comfort as we face our own future. And when we face the passing of a godly friend or our own passing in time, we can face death, even our own death, without any fear. And we can look forward to that day when Jesus is the way, the truth and the life we have eternally with him. So that's the first thing. We can we don't need to fear death. Secondly, the great motivation of this is when we face the difficulties of each day, the second proper response to knowing Jesus is that it motivates us. It motivates us to invite others to know Jesus and also to make a real difference in our life here while we're here on earth. It was once said, he that's on the road to heaven, he won't be content to be there alone. Friends, we are desperate. We're desperate that our friends and our families know Jesus like us, so that they too can taste eternal life in Jesus. To believe in heaven is to not run away from life, but run toward it. We need to grab hold of life and take every opportunity that comes our way. The great English writer C.S. Lewis once said, if you read history, you'll know that Christians who did most for the present world were those who just thought most of the next. He goes on to say, the apostles, those who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth, precisely because their minds were preoccupied with heaven. Aim at heaven, Lewis says. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. So let me conclude. This is real. This is a great comfort. Let us take this truth of Jesus being the way, the truth and the life. And may we have confidence as we face difficulties and uncertainties or our own death. And may we do whatever we can to bring others with us so they too might know Jesus. Friends, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have prepared our heavenly home through the work of Jesus on the cross. We thank you for this great inheritance that we have partly received. And we know that we have nothing to fear in our own death if we trust in you. And Lord God, you have given us great comfort and hope and strength, and we just want to praise you. So help us always to look to you and to trust you in all things. And with this assurance and expectation, please help us to go out this week and make a real difference with our lives and bring as many people we can to heaven with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.